Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Recording. Boom. Good thing I didn't forget that. The number is on screen. You guys can call in now. I won't say the number because I'll confuse you, so I'll just stay quiet. I'll take a drink of water. That's what I'll do. I'll sniffle up a little bit here and drink some water. Yes, I drink from the largest bottles of water in the country. Shout out to Costco, Kirkland, baby, with the large bottles of water. All right. I know some of you probably buy the same water at Costco. I'm holding the lock button. Lots of people joining in here internationally already. And the moment these callers get in, we're going to let like 10 people and then lock it. Because usually we get through 5 or 7 and 3 or 4 drop out. So 10's a sweet spot here before we lock it. It's going to lock. It's going to lock. Let's let one more person in. Okay, it's locked. Perfect. It is locked. And we're going to say the lines are closed. I know the entire broadcast, people are going to come in and say, I can't call. What's the number? But I hope the lines are closed is enough. I don't know what else to put. I put the lines are full and people are like, what does that mean? The lines are closed. I don't know how else to say it. You can't call anymore unless we get through these people or unless somehow they all hang up. But here we go. I'm reading the chat. So if you guys have something good to say to our callers, you can type in the chat. Let's take our first caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hey, this is Caleb from Minneapolis.
How you doing, bro?
Good. I've been listening to your stuff for a while, and the timing today is kind of worked out really well. But your channel's been a huge blessing to me, so thank you.
Awesome, thanks, bro. That's super encouraging. I appreciate that.
So my question is, I'm fairly new to kind of the whole supernatural thing. I was a couple of years ago, basically God led me out of a church that was very, they were cessationistic and they didn't believe in active spiritual gifts, and so God's been slowly leading me and teaching me through your channel and many others, but I've been kind of, I don't really know how to get connected because I don't, there's no, like my family is still like at that church and the church I'm in now, they believe in the gifts, but they don't practice them or anything, and it's not, I haven't been able to get as involved as I'd like, but my question is, I've actually been really struggling with my relationship with my wife, because she has a lot of trauma in her background, and several different things, and I do too, but I'm kind of afraid to talk about like spiritual things because of my background at church, and my wife doesn't really know a lot of the journey that I've been through over the last few years. Okay. And I feel like I don't have anyone to talk about spiritual things, and I want to grow in spiritual gifts, and I have a little bit, but I want to be able to, I feel like I don't really have the, I was kind of shut down my whole life and kind of having my own thoughts about things, and it's kind of, I struggled with kind of opening up and talking about what I actually have been growing in and everything, and I feel kind of hopeless because I'm like, I've been able to like grow myself, but I feel like I can't. I don't know where to start.
So you're struggling because, if I could just in a nutshell, you were in a cessationist church. They don't really believe in the gifts. And now you're God's opening your eyes to the spiritual realm, to the full gospel is what I would call it, right? Like the signs, the wonders, the miracles, deliverance, healing, Holy Spirit baptism, speaking in tongues, all the good stuff, all the miraculous stuff in the book of Acts. But now you're struggling to talk to your wife about this, talk to the people at church about this. You kind of feel like you're on your own. Is that pretty much a good synopsis of what you were saying?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's been, I truly have grown a lot, but I feel like I'm at the point where I need to like share what I've learned with others and grow together with a community. And I feel like I've,
now, does your wife go to the church? Does the wife go to the cessationist church that you were at?
No. When we got like my, when I was dating her, it's kind of what the last thing that kind of led me out of the church. So, I mean, she's not a cessationist and she wasn't at that church, but she kind of, it's kind of like a hypothetical, like God can do that, but he doesn't really.
And now what church do you guys go to now? Do you guys go to a church right now?
Yeah, we do. It's one that talks about the gifts and stuff, but there's no like active practice.
Got
it. I guess
they don't practice. There's no like application. No one's praying for each other, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I would say look for a church where they're going to actively walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I say that, I mean by they're going to say, hey, if you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you want to experience the power of God, you know, we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you. That would be one thing. Other thing would be, hey, if you're sick in body as a church, we want to lay hands and pray with you would be another thing. Hey, if you need deliverance, we have deliverance teams. We can meet with you. We'll pray with you. That would be an important thing. Those are all vital, right, in the church, because here's the thing. There's going to come to a point where you, your wife, your friends, you're bringing to the church, they're going to need more than just a good encouraging word. There may be a time where you say you bring a friend that's sick in body. Hey, my friend's sick. They need healing. And now here I am at a church where they don't lay hands on the sick, but I have a sick friend that needs the healing power of God, which is riddled all throughout scripture. Literally, our God is a healing God. Or say you have a friend that needs deliverance and you're like, hey, I need my friend to get delivered. And where else am I going to bring him? Like, I can't bring him to my own church for him to get free. Where can I bring my friend or my family or my kid or my wife or whoever, right? So you really want to try to find a place where there's that access to the power of the Holy Spirit, to ministry time, and to seeking God in that way. Now, say you're at a church right now. You love the church. They believe in it. They preach on it, but they don't practice it, which is a lot of churches. I totally get that. You can like, you know, supplement your Christian life, that's the right word, with joining the Discord, where there's literally 10,000 people that are always on there praying for each other, prayer meetings, Bible studies, community, like 24/7, they're on there praying, talking, Bible studies. So there's a community online you can get a part of. You can also, you know, look at the deliverance map, connect with people on there and say, hey, I don't need deliverance, but if you're in my area, I want to help in a deliverance because I want to get involved and learn about this. So there you can contact someone there. I know Jenny Weaver has the core group where they have people all over meeting together. There's all these different online communities if you can't find it in person that you can access. But I would say, man, be open with your wife, talk with her, say, hey, this is what I've seen. This is what God is doing in my heart. God is opening up my eyes. And I want to show you some scriptures, honey, that talk about this. And I think we need to step into this. And I think we need this in our lives. And you could even like, hey, Jesus told the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit and they were saved. You know, this was after the cross. So like, don't you think if they needed the Holy Spirit, like an encounter, we do as well, like, you know, telling your wife this. And I would just take a few scriptures and just walk through with her and say, this is real. We need this. Our family needs this. Our community needs this. And God's awakening me and God's showing me these things. I'm the priest of the home. I'm the man of the house. And I really want to start incorporating this into our lives. And whether that's having a prayer meeting once a month at your house, whether that's you and your wife praying together with your kids and a few friends and family and just start laying hands on each other, I definitely think you can start incorporating it and start talking about it. You do have to like really step up and just say, okay, I got to step out of my comfort zone here. It's not comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Cause you've come out of that life but you need to do it. You need to talk with her about it. You need to start incorporating this because God has so much more for you. And a lot of us, and I'm not just saying you, but we're settling for less than all that God has, right? So God like wants to encounter us. He wants to empower us. He wants us to be healed and delivered and filled with his Spirit. And these religious doctrines, specifically like cessationism, which is demonic, it's a demonic doctrine because it's not the doctrine the Bible teaches. It teaches people that God isn't moving like he was moving in the Bible. He doesn't move like that anymore, which is crazy because the Bible says in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I would just really challenge you, just step out. I bet you anything, the people you think aren't going to receive it are going to receive it better than you would imagine. I always think like, oh, these people aren't going to receive what I have to say, and they always receive it better than I think. So I would just want to encourage you with that. Like, I think they're going to receive it well. I think your wife's going to receive it well. And I would definitely step out and talk about it and maybe even talk to some of the leaders at your church. Hey, I want to have a meeting with the pastors and talk to them about my concerns. And just maybe they know something I don't know. Maybe they can enlighten me on why they're not, you know, praying for the sick, praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying for deliverance. But I do want to meet with them and talk to them and see why we're not doing these things the Bible clearly tells us to do. And that could be healthy as well, to try to meet with some leaders. And you don't need to try to correct them and say, you're wrong, I'm right. But just ask them why there isn't like prayer time and stuff like that. And they're not allowing, the Holy Spirit to kind of do what he wants to do.
Yeah. No, and that's helpful. I think part of what I've been struggling with is, both my wife and I have been kind of on different journeys growing. But I think part of why we're at the church we're at now is because she has a lot of, but like church hurt in her background, and she's very hesitant to be involved in like church community because of the past, and the church right now has been helpful for our growth because it's been very welcoming and encouraging in that sense. But I guess for me, there's kind of a lot of fear, because I know my wife is kind of going to be hesitant to move to another church and kind of start all that over again.
Maybe God will use you where you guys are at. It might be a good middle ground for you and your wife. You definitely want there to be peace in your home. So maybe just talk with the leaders and, you know, ask them and just tell your wife, honestly, say, honey, I want to go deeper. Like, I want to go deeper. I'm not okay with where I'm at. I want to go deeper with God, and I feel limited. I feel like I'm in the shallow end right now. And so I don't know what that looks like or what we need to do, but this is just something I'm praying about. Would you pray with me about that? You know, ask her for prayer about that. Like, hey, let's pray, because I really want to go deeper with God. I want to be more involved, and I'm just not feeling that here. And then you can meet with your leaders and tell them how you feel. Be honest with them. Say, hey, this is what I feel, and what do you guys think? Will you guys pray with me? And then just see what happens. I think that's the best route to go.
Yeah. And then one other question kind of related to that, one thing my wife is less open to I've noticed since I've been growing the demonic realm a lot more in a lot of different ways. And I think that my wife could use like some deliverance in areas, and I've that's kind of contributed to the fear because I don't know how to go about that too. Like there's just a lot of stuff connected to her past that I think is affecting her now in a lot of negative ways.
I would take it one step at a time. I wouldn't overwhelm her with the fact that, you know, she needs deliverance, but I'll definitely step at a time, and then let God organically reveal that to her as you guys step into a more spiritual environment. And even, you know, a lot of times I tell guys, start with you. You get delivered first, you go through it first, and then let your wife know what you went through, and then be like, hey, maybe this would be helpful for you as well for some of the stuff you've been through. So I would kind of ease her into it and then talk with her kind of that way. But I would start with you. If it was me, I would be the first one to get deliverance, and then I would bring it to my wife and say, hey, I've been through this. It's something that's essential, and I think that you'd benefit as well.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. I tend to kind of overthink things and want to do everything all at once. it's helpful. That's good advice. I definitely should probably.
Absolutely. Well, brother, God bless you. I'm going to take the next caller. God bless you. And thanks so much for calling in. And I hope to be able to meet you one day when I'm out there.
Yeah, thank you for your help.
Awesome. God bless, bro.
You too.
All right, guys, I know there was 10 in the beginning. There's 6 in the waiting room now, so a couple people have hung up, but we're here. I'm gonna take the next caller. Great question. Some of them do go longer, but we got to continue to be respectful and patient, and I want to be respectful to people and be thorough. All right, here we go. Next one. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hey, Isaiah. So my name is Reese, and I'm from Daphne, Alabama.
How's it going?
Hey, so I met you on Christmas Eve, actually.
Oh, what's up, Reese? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All right. So
what's going on, bro?
I have a pizza Baptist friend that doesn't believe in deliverance. And honestly, I have a few more friends who show symptoms of demonization, but they don't believe it. So
yeah.
How could I possibly help them out, maybe help them get delivered when they don't even believe in it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the bottom line is, there's a famous saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And the similar thing is with deliverance, is with salvation. There's people that, for example, are in my life that are unsaved, that I've been praying for. I want to see them saved, but they refuse to serve God. They refuse to submit to him. So I just continue to pray that God would unblind them. The Bible says the devil blinds the mind of unbelievers. So the devil's put a blinder on them when it comes to this. And so you have to just pray that God would soften their heart, that God would open their eyes, that this blinder would be removed. But you can't force deliverance on anybody. You can't make anybody get delivered. You can only show them what you know, show them in scripture where it's all throughout the scripture, where Jesus did it. You know, Mark 1:39, he went from synagogue to synagogue casting out demons. Show them how biblical it is. But at the end of the day, they have to want it. Because you can't force, just like you can't force salvation on someone. The word salvation means sozo. And in that word is actually deliverance, is to be set free, to be saved, set free, healed. But you can't force salvation on anyone. You can't force deliverance on anyone. You can't force somebody to be healed. You can't make somebody be healed. So I would say in the same way, you just need to pray for them. If you've already talked to them about it, if you've already like showed them the videos they probably don't want to watch, you've already showed them in the scripture, it's kind of like after that, if they're still resistant, it's kind of throwing your pearls to swine. You don't really want to continue to waste a bunch of time telling the same person the same thing. You just need to pray for them that God would soften their heart, because the problem's not the seed or what you're telling them. The problem is the soil. And in Luke 13, the Bible talks about 4 soils. There's like the rocky soil, the thorny soil, all these soils, right? And the seed's good on all 4 soils, but only one of the soils is good soil, and the seed grows. So you're throwing good seed at them, and the problem isn't the seed that you're sharing, it's the soil it's landing on. So you really have to say, like, Lord, soften their heart, soften the soil. And if they continue to resist and don't want it, then hey, you're the one demonized, not me. It's not my problem, it's your problem. I shared what I needed to share, and I'm praying for you, and I love you, but if you don't want freedom, then I can't make you get free, because I'm going to continue to believe it whether you believe it or not. I know it's true. I've seen it happen. I've seen God work. And even if I never seen God do deliverance, or I've never seen anything in my life, like personally, I don't even need you, because the Bible says it. So we're not even going off of experience or what we've seen. We're going off what does the word of God say? And the word of God says he came to set the captives free. So I'm just basing it off scripture. That's my foundation. And if you don't like that, and if you don't believe that, then that's on you. We could still be friends. You know what I mean? Like, you could be friends with people that don't believe in deliverance, but you're going to end up staying in bondage if you don't want to believe that God can set you free, or God wants to set you free. And tons of people live in bondage. Tons of Christians stay in bondage because they refuse to believe that they might need deliverance, or that deliverance is for today. But yeah, it's a lie from the devil, and devil doesn't want people to be set free.
Yes, thank you so much. A lot of it's rooted in pride, because they're thinking, oh, I don't need deliverance, I don't have any demons.
Absolutely, 1,000%.
It's so frustrating, because what made me believe in deliverance is taking that step of faith, just humbling myself and actually trying to get deliverance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the root of it. Pride is what the devil got cast out of heaven for, and it's the root of resisting God. I don't need this. Because deliverance is God's intervention in our life. Like, it's the finger of God. Jesus said, I cast out demons by the finger of God. So deliverance is literally God's finger on you, God's spirit on you, and the finger of God and spirit of God can be used synonymously in this text. So yeah, you're saying, I don't need God's finger, I don't need God's intervention, I can do it on my own. It's like, I'm like, okay, we'll keep struggling, keep going in circles, keep dealing with the same sin. I want freedom. I want deliverance. And you have to humble yourself to get to that point. Pride is definitely a huge hindrance in people's lives to not being set free. So we just got to keep praying for them and believing that God would humble them and open their eyes. And one day, maybe he will. You know, you just got to be diligent in your prayers.
Yeah, Yeah. Thank you so much, Isaiah.
Absolutely, bro. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you.
All right, bro. God bless. There's a lot of people that have dropped out in the waiting room. Guys, just so you know, I don't kick anybody out of the waiting room. So if you've gotten dropped out, it's either Zoom server or your telephone service or something else. Because I've never kicked a person out of the waiting room before. And there's four people in here and there was 10. So I'm just taking calls as they come. But yeah, the Zoom, some of you say you got kicked out. I'm sorry. It's Zoom's in. I don't know what to do about it because I don't kick people out. All right, here we go. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hey, Isaiah. Hey, this is Chris calling from the upstate of South Carolina. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Chris?
Hey, man. I know a lot of people who look up to you. And so I see you got almost 1 million subscribers. You're crushing it here. And my question for you today is, how much research do you perform or praying do you do before addressing a trending hot topic? And you know what I'm going to go after here is namely the Mark Driscoll situation with James River Church. I'm not sure if you're aware, they posted a follow-up video, the entire church during their prayer service yesterday, addressing the situation. And again, during the men's conference, they go over 500 men surrender their lives to Jesus. And every week at James River Church, 50 to 60 written in testimonies, healing and deliverance are happening there. And again, I knew in the video you said you didn't know the pastor who kind of addressed it kind of thing. And I was just curious, how much research are you doing? How much praying are you doing before addressing a really hot topic? That's my question for you today, brother.
Yeah, really good question. I appreciate that. You know, when it all happened and kind of broke out, I know it didn't happen Monday, but that's what everyone was breaking out, asking me, blowing up my phone. Actually, what provoked me to do it, there's a lot of topics I don't cover. I miss a lot of stories. If you look at my stuff compared to others, I very rarely even talk about issues that are coming up. You know, there's like 20 things a week and I do maybe one a week or two a week max covering different things. Because for me, my channel is more teaching and preaching, and those reaction stuff is more to get people to the teaching and the preaching. This specifically, the reason why I talked about it was because I had a family that was at the church and in the conference with some young boys, and they were kind of distraught by it. And they had commented and kind of wrote me like, hey, we walked out. Can you please talk about this, cover it? So when I covered it, I just started looking up the guy's name and different things that kind of other people were covering and talking about. Again, I didn't know James River other than a couple families that have gone there that wrote me. I have a couple mutual pastor friends that had talked to me that day about it. So I knew a tiny bit, but I didn't know them personally. I had never heard about them. So I tried to do the best I could with the limited information I had. But I did say in my video specifically, this is not to speak to the church or to Mark Driscoll's ministry, because I'm not very familiar with his ministry either. But this was specifically speaking to that exact circumstance, right? And even in there, I said, like, this is nothing against the church, the pastor. I'm sure it's a great church, a great pastor. But I was just speaking directly to, is this tolerable in the church? Forget about, you know, he was a stripper. And I even said in the video, he's not a stripper anymore. He was in his past. But forget about even that. That's what really people were upset about. To me, the question was, is it permissible for a church service to have entertainment such as, again, of course, people say, well, it was sexual, it wasn't sexual, doesn't really matter, for a man to be, you know, ripping off his shirt in a weird manner, let's just say, for the best way to say it, and then a pole, which we know wasn't a stripper pole, but it was a pole, and he was doing acrobats on a pole, swallowing a sword, and doing other, I think, questionable things in the house of God. That was really what I wanted to address and talk about. Is these things tolerable? And then I kind of went into what he was before. But again, he's not that now. I don't know. I mean, I saw a video from like 4 or 5 months ago where he was meditating in a, I don't know if it was like a Hindu or Buddhist garden. You might have saw that with a bunch of like Hindu statues around him. It was a little bit weird to me. Not saying, you know, I know now I watched the video today that you're mentioning. It was about 45 minutes. It was actually a great video. I recommend everybody watch it. And that was, I believe, is it Pastor John Lindell's video he made? I think that's what you were talking about, right? It's about 40 minutes. Is that the video you were referring to?
No, they posted last night during their prayer meeting. They had a special prayer meeting.
Yeah, it was like 40 minutes. Yeah. Was it a 40-minute video?
I saw the whole thing. I don't know how long the clip.
Okay. Because this morning I saw about a 40-minute video. I don't know when it was posted, but it was just recent in the last like 10 hours. So probably we're talking about the same thing where he addressed all of these things. For me, the problem wasn't, I think what happened with Mark Driscoll after and all the stuff he addressed is totally wrong and totally uncalled for. But to me, I'm not sitting there trying to go through the background of every situation between him and Mark Driscoll and how he knew him from years ago and restored him. Like, to me, I'm not going into all of that. I just 10-minute video of, is this right to have in the church? I don't think it's right specifically to have in the church. Again, not speaking about the history of that church or anything. I just think this is specifically wrong. We shouldn't have this, especially at men's conferences, especially with how perversion's rampant in men, perversion's rampant in this generation. So to me, yeah, I did as much research I think that I was had access to, but I could have probably waited a couple days and reacted to it. I just not doing like a 40-minute expose of that pastor, that church, the history of Mark Driscoll. The video was just, this is my reaction to everything going on. And yeah, again, I don't think I slandered the church in the video. I even said the guy's not a stripper, and they did reconcile on stage after, which the video was like 40 minutes I wasn't going to cover. But I definitely try to pray about every video, ask the Lord if he wants me to do it. And there's been tons of situations that I've wanted to speak on where the Lord's like, no, don't speak on it. No, don't make a video about it. And I've wanted to. Like, I want to address this. I want to talk about this. And the Lord's like, nope, don't talk about it. It's not the right. I even prayed this morning. Somebody, a mutual friend of Pastor John, sent me that video and was like, hey, let me know what you think about this. And I even prayed this morning, Lord, do you want me to do a follow-up? Do you want me to take down that and then do a recap video or a response? But to me, it's like, it's a great video. I recommend everyone goes and watch it. It's 40 minutes. But I just am not trying to get myself involved with what's going on with him and Mark Driscoll, and it's gotten very messy. And to me, I don't want to just continue to make videos reacting to a situation that's really not in my world or, you know, not close to me. Like, I don't know either of them, and it's not, I don't want to inject myself into what's going on with them. I just wanted specifically to speak on what happened and this thing. And I still stand on that, you know, even though, of course, it wasn't a strip show and I said that in the video, it's still wrong. I even changed my thumbnail to male performer and the title was male performer. A lot of people are using like male stripper, but I just think it's wrong either way to have that in a men's conference, despite that was just kind of what I was speaking to. So.
No, brother, thank you for clarifying all that. That is very helpful for a lot of us who follow you, who look up to you, who respect you. And one follow-up is, what was your family members' takeaway from the conference overall? Again, I heard like 575 men surrender to Jesus. Again, countless healings are happening there every week. So just curious what their overall take was.
Yeah, so I didn't ask them that. They're actually not a family member. They're just someone that wrote to me that their family was there. So it was actually a wife and her husband and kids were there. So she was the one that messaged me, and then I kind of saw a few comments on my stuff. But she didn't tell me the rest. All she told me was, we are praying, we're heartbroken, we're distraught by it. I think that probably just put a sour taste in their mouth, you know? And again, I wasn't there. I even told my brother this morning, I'm like, people were saying Mark should have, Mark shouldn't. I just said, I wasn't there, so I can't say what he should or shouldn't have done. I just think if I was the preacher there and I saw that, I would probably have done the same thing. I don't know. It's hard to say because I wasn't there. I don't know what was going on spiritually. But they didn't tell me how the rest of the conference was. I think they were just, that kind of spoiled it for them. You know what I mean? For at least that the wife and husband. It was the wife saying that her boys and husband were like just heartbroken and mad about it all. But I don't know. It would be nice to know, but I'm not sure. And praise the Lord for all the salvations, the miracles, the deliverances. I thank God and praise God for that. And again, I talked to friends of his and people from the church, and they were like, he's an amazing pastor, but we think this was an oversight. And I said that in the video. I'm like, hey, this seems like a major oversight. This isn't the end of the world, and this isn't like, you're going to hell because you did this, but I think it's a major oversight, and we need to do better research and go, I don't know, this probably isn't appropriate. Have the guy keep his shirt on. You can do acrobatics with your shirt on. I just think ripping it off in the way he did. If you go to his Instagram, it's all shirtless pictures. It's all, to me, a lot of it's provocative, even though I know he's a Christian. I watched the video you watched. I watched it this morning. I just still think it's inappropriate for a men's conference. So that's kind of where I'm at. I hope that helps a little bit.
No, that does. Again, brother, really appreciate it. And for all of us out here, what's the one thing we can be praying for you about? What's the one thing?
Oh, man, I appreciate that. I would just say strength and just wisdom, you know, wisdom to make the right decisions. Even as you're saying, making videos, I realize like, man, this platform, I'm responsible for it. I want to make sure I'm only saying what God wants me to say, and I'm walking contrite and humble. So I think strength and just encouragement. For me, it's like easy to get discouraged, which is so crazy. Like, how are you discouraged? Your ministry's reaching millions of people and God is moving. And I have a beautiful wife and beautiful kids. Everybody's healthy. But yeah, the enemy just tries to attack me with discouragement. And it's a very weird like lifestyle, right? I went from preaching in churches every single week in hundreds of churches. I spent 10 years, I was pastoring. So I'm around a lot of people all the time. And now, like right now, I'm literally sitting in front of a camera, right? It's like beautiful outside. I'm in this office, but it's like, it's cold. You know what I mean? It's like, there's no person here. So I'm blessed by even callers like you and people in the stream to talk with. But yeah, it's a very different world that I'm in now, reaching people online. I'm only doing it because God told me to do it. But I think for me, if I'm being vulnerable, I probably just need just encouragement. The Lord just continue to encourage me. And I encourage myself. David said, like, I encourage myself in the Lord. So like, I also don't want to be a baby here because I'm blessed and grateful for what God's done, but I'm always just encouraging myself in the Lord. And so, yeah, just strength and encouragement. And then, of course, praying for my wife and kids, that God would just guard them, guide them, protect them. I know I'm a target. I know the devil wants to stop me. I'm aware of that. And I know if he can't stop me, he's going to try to attack my wife and kids. And so I just pray the Lord's hand on them. And everybody in the chat, you know, there's 1,000 people on here. All of you guys continue to pray for me. I really, really appreciate that. So thank you for that, bro.
God bless you, brother.
Awesome. Thank you. God bless. Really, really good question, guys. We have to be careful with our platforms because we do have a voice to millions of people, literally. And I know I'm going to stand before God on that. So today, this morning, I prayed. I watched the 40-minute video, which was a great video, the response from the pastor. And I think he used a lot of great scriptures. I agreed with him on a lot of it. There were some parts I didn't agree with. And there was a lot of parts I did agree with, but I just am not trying to get myself in the mix of all these things. And I'm not one to react to every single thing. As you guys know, I don't react to most things. I do like one per week, maybe. And there's probably like 10 things happening every week in the Christian church. I just pray like, Lord. And for me, I just felt a zeal about the situation. I felt like just a zeal about it. So I wanted to talk about it and react to it. And hindsight, of course, now there's stuff coming out that I didn't know before. And hey, I'm going to do this today. I'm going to go through my video and I'm going to make sure that I didn't say anything that wasn't factual or anything wrong. And I'll literally trim out any part that would not be, you know, now a couple days later, more stuff's come out that doesn't line up with that. And I don't think I have anything in there that is that way, but I'll double check to make sure. Again, it wasn't to slander the church, anything. It was just my reaction to, should we have this in the body of Christ? To me, it's inappropriate. Like if my kids were there and that dude's like rips off his shirt and is on this pole. I know it's acrobatic pole. I know it's not a stripper pole. To me, still, I would not have that. So that's what I was speaking to, but it's no secret. It was all over the internet. It's not like I'm over here exposing some secrets that are happening behind the scenes. All right, let's take the next caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hi, my name is Amanda, and I'm from Michigan.
How are you, Amanda?
Good. How are you, Isaiah?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
Okay, hold on. I'm, like, so scared. And also, Well, I don't know. There's so many people watching, but I'm sorry if my voice is, like, bad. I was just really sick. So.
Oh, you're good. I'm dealing with some sickness as well. And don't be nervous. Just pretend I'm like your cousin or your brother. And I'm just a normal person like you. So don't even feel nervous at all.
Okay. Okay, I'll try. My question is, I have a 2-year-old daughter. And she was born with a genetic lung disease called cystic fibrosis. And so we were always told, like, by doctors and everything, she was diagnosed at 2 weeks old. So okay. We were always told by doctors, like, there's no cure because, you know, it's genetic. And we kind of always have that, like, negativity, like, talk. Like, people are always kind of, like, speaking over her, like, she's always going to have issues. She's always going to be sick and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we've kind of over the last couple of years, we've started just speaking differently about it just because, you know, we believe now that God can do anything. And, even though it's on her DNA, like we believe, you know, we believe in miracles now and we didn't when she was born, but, anyway, I guess my question is, how do we keep her safe without, like, living in fear, I guess? Because, you know, it's one of those things that's, like, she can't be around, like, germs and things like that, because she does get sick more often than other kids, and it can be more serious. But I guess I kind of, me and my husband, we have an issue with like falling into the fear part of it instead of just kind of trying to be careful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I would say this. Children are a gift from God. God knows exactly her before she was born. He knit her in your womb. He knows what's right, what's best for her. He's going to give you the right wisdom, the right revelation to do exactly what he's called you to do. And you're a mom. You're protective over her. You know, it's completely normal. I would be the same way in your shoes. And for me, it's like, hey, I'm believing for healing. I'm standing on healing. I'm believing what the word of God says. If God doesn't heal her, I still believe in healing. I'm going to keep praying. Every time there's a chance, I'm going to pray for her, right, to be healed. And I'm going to stand on God's word and believe. And at the same time, I'm still going to go through the medical stuff. I'm still going to give her the medicine. I'm still going to take her to doctors. Like, we know Luke was a medical physician and he wrote the book of Acts. Isn't it interesting? A doctor wrote the most supernatural book of the Bible. So there's definitely still benefits in the medical realm. And I believe God gives people medical advancements and God helps people through medicine and all of that. So for you, I would just say continue being the loving mom that you're being, and don't feel like, oh, I'm pumping fear if I'm not wanting her around certain people or not wanting her around certain situations. I'll just say this. And I know this is going to make some people mad. There are people that are reckless. They're so spiritual. And I think we should all be very spiritual, but they're so spiritual, they're reckless. So for example, they'll have diabetes, right? And they'll say, the doctor will say, okay, if you don't take insulin, you're going to die. If you don't do this, you're going to die. Don't eat certain foods, eat healthy. And they'll say, nope, I don't believe the report of the doctor. I believe the Lord. I'm standing on my healing. I'm going to eat ice cream. I'm going to eat donuts. I'm going to eat McDonald's. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm not going to take my insulin. And then they end up dying, right? And then it's like a very sad thing. But some people, they just go overboard. They go overboard with, well, I'm going to do whatever I want. So I would still be protective if I was you. Like, as a parent, I would still believe in God, but also be protective and also follow the advice of what doctors are telling you to do. I wouldn't just be like, well, we have faith now, so we can let her do whatever and be around anybody. She's this young, innocent girl that God's given you to protect. And I think God will lead you to having the wisdom. Why, we don't want to be reckless. The devil tried to tell Jesus to be reckless. He said, if you jump off, the Bible says that the angels will protect you. And Jesus is like, you're quoting that out of context. The Bible also says, don't test God. So the scripture that the devil was actually referring to was divine protection from angels in like dangerous situations or when armies are against us. And the devil used the same verse to say, you can jump off a building and God will protect you. So the devil was trying to tell Jesus to be reckless. And Jesus is like, no, the scripture doesn't teach us to be reckless. So for some parents, we can, because of our faith, we can be reckless with our kids and like not give them medicine or whatever. We have all these horror stories of parents stop giving their kids medicine. The kid dies and they're like, well, I just had faith. I didn't want to give them any medicine. I think there's a healthy balance of wisdom that God is giving you and has given you, you and your husband, where you can still walk in love, walk in wisdom, and not walk in fear and just trust in the Lord, but at the same time, be protective. I hope I'm kind of answering. I know I'm a little bit all over the place, but those are just some of my thoughts when you tell me about your situation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually exactly what I needed to hear. So I appreciate awesome. That so much.
What was your daughter's name? Let's pray for her.
Her name is Elena.
Elena. So Father, right now, we just lift up Elena to you. God, we thank you for her. What an amazing child, Lord. We know that you knit her in her mother's womb. And Father, we just ask you for your divine healing power. Father, we look at this parable of the judge and the widow that keeps bugging the judge and the judge finally gives in. And Father, we just come today again and we just bug you again, Lord, for her healing, for her breakthrough. We just pray for little Elena, God, that you just bring restoration. You bring healing over her lungs, God, over her kidneys, over her liver, over her heart, over her intestines, every area, Lord. If there's any imbalance, we just pray divine healing. We believe what your word says. We believe in the healing power of God. So Father, we just pray right now that you would heal your daughter, that you would touch her life, that you would completely restore her, and that you would just flow by your spirit. Father, you're not bound to time, space, or place. We know that. And we believe, God, wherever she is, that your mighty hand would just touch her right now, that the healing power of God, we stand for her right now, that the healing power of God would just reach this sweet little girl, and that, Lord, you would have your way right now over Elena. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Isaiah.
Absolutely. God bless you, sister. Hey, we have her on our prayer list. I know the chat's typing her name, so I'm going to add her to my prayer list as well. We're just standing and believing for healing, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless. Have a great day.
God bless. Bye-bye.
That's a great question. You know, a lot of parents, they really do go overboard and they act foolish because they say, well, the Bible says my daughter has been healed already. And even though she's not, and they don't give medication, they don't give, you know, care to their child. I don't think that's wisdom. I think we need to use wisdom. We need to use the resources God has given us and we need to turn to God. Now, I also run to God first. Before I run to the doctor, I run to God. Before I seek medical advice, I pray, I ask the Lord to heal and stuff. And if it's not his will or his way at that specific time, then we pray for medical intervention. You know, my daughter's going through a scoliosis right now, really bad. She has like a 30-something degree curve, and we're praying for her every single night. Every single night, I'm laying hands on my daughter, and I'm praying that her back would be straightened, and I'm believing it every single night. But you know what? Up until then, until God heals her, she's also wearing a brace at night, you know? We're doing what the doctors and specialists are telling us to do, because I don't want to just say, oh, I'm just believing, and then now she has all these health issues growing up. So we're believing and also doing what the doctor's saying. If she wears this brace, it'll help straighten her back until she's older. But she has like an extreme scoliosis that we found out about randomly through another turn of events, and I believe it was all God that we even found out about it. But we're praying for the healing power of God. We're standing on that and believing that. And I know some people are like, oh, how could you pray for healing if you have kids that need healing or you need healing? I still believe it. I still pray for it. The word of God is not changed by my circumstance. Like my daughter's sickness or your sickness or my sickness doesn't change that by his stripes we're healed. It doesn't change the word of God. So I will never allow what I'm going through to determine what the word of God says. I allow the word of God to determine what I'm going through. And I stand on his word for healing, for breakthrough, for deliverance. And I'll keep praying. I'll pray the next 10 years every night. I don't care. I'm going to believe in the power of God. I'll never let, and this is a word for all of you, never let what you're going through determine what the word of God says. And yeah, the smiley face, that I've been doing that since literally, I think I was like 12 or 13 when I started doing that. And I've been doing it ever since. So yeah, that's my little old school. I don't even know when did I start doing that? Early 2000s smiley face. And I still do it to this day. I don't use emojis. I just use that. It's so weird and old school. If you know AOL Instant Messenger, you remember those days. All right. I'm live, baby. What's up? Yeah, I will take you later. Okay. That is my 3-year-old at the door asking if I'll take her to Family Dollar to get candy. So she asks every single day to go to Family Dollar. We have like a dollar store down the street that we take her to. And how many of you know kids love the dollar store? That was my favorite store growing up, was the Dollar Tree. All right, we have two more people in the waiting room. And we have about another, let's say, 20 minutes here on the show. So let's take hopefully these last two people. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from. Hello, can you hear me? All right, we're going to give them a second. They might have put their phone down. We have a long wait, so people put their phone down, put me on mute. I get it. I totally understand. Everyone's saying take her to the Dollar Tree. I will later. Just left Family Dollar. Oh, yeah, we love Family Dollar. My kids, that's like, you know, core memory for them will be going to Family Dollar. Super fun. Hello, are you there? Pick me up. We'll give them like another minute here. I'll read the chat. Thanks for spamming all the smiley faces. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, how are you?
Good, how are you? I think my live is lagging a little bit. It's a little behind.
Yeah, it's delayed. It's like a minute delay on the live, unfortunately.
Okay.
No worries. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Let's see. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name's Gina. I'm calling from North Carolina, but I'll be moving to Florida soon.
Awesome. Well, thanks for calling in. What's going on today?
So I have a couple questions, but I'm going to try to keep it short so I can respect your time. I know you have like 10 minutes left, but
awesome. Sounds good.
My first question, I have a friend from college. His name is Andrew, and he was on a worship team. God revealed to me this morning that he had the spirit of condemnation, and I want to be careful what I say because I don't want to get flagged by YouTube, but he's basically in the Q community, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I can't look at his Instagram page because it literally makes me so sad. Like, I have such an empathetic spirit. And my first question is, like, when does that become a bad thing? And my second question is, like, how do you pray for a prodigal?
When does, like, what become God a bad thing? You having that feeling of sadness when you look at his stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say you have the heart of God. God's heartbroken over the lost, over those that are living wicked lifestyles, right? Like, if you're asking God, I want your heart. I want to break for what you break for. I want to know what hurts you. Then, yeah, you're going to hurt when you see friends and family that are living sinful lifestyles, friends and family that are lost, that are going to go to hell if they die. Like, we're heartbroken over that, and we're empathetic and sympathetic and all of that over it. Now, it probably gets unhealthy when you're dwelling on it, when you're continuing to, like, go on his page, for example. I think it could probably get unhealthy, but I would say I would use that empathy as fuel to pray for him, right? To pray for him even harder, to believe even more. And the prayer I always pray is what I kind of told, I think, Reese earlier, was that the Lord would take the blinders off, because we know the devil blinds the mind of unbelievers so that it prevent them from hearing and receiving the gospel, right? It's that hard soil. So I pray, for example, like, Lord, take the blinders off, soften their heart, soften the soil, encounter them, remove the pride. And it works, maybe it doesn't. I always do this, though. I go to spiritual warfare for people, right? Like, if I'm praying for you, did you say your name is Gina? Is that right? So if I'm praying for Gina and you're lost, I would be praying, I come against every spirit that's attacking Gina. I come against the spirit of pride. I come against the spirit of perversion. I come against the lying spirit. I mean, I go to war for people spiritually. And some people are like, well, it doesn't work if they're not in front of you, you know, doing deliverance. I don't know. I still pray. I still believe. I intercede for them. So I would still go after those spirits that are attacking him, go after those things and go to war and intercede on his behalf. Like, we have the ability to stand in the gap for people because he doesn't have a connection to God, because he's not praying. You can stand in the gap and pray for him and pray the Lord draws him back to the body of Christ, to the church, to him. And he will have that experience. He will have that encounter. There will be a moment where he goes, oh, I'm in the pig pen. I want to go back to the Lord. But I wouldn't continue to dwell on that sorrow and dwell on that you being down and going to his page. Like, if you know you're going to get triggered if you go to his Instagram page, I wouldn't even go to his Instagram page, you know? Like, a lot of my old friends, I don't even go on their pages because I already know, one, it's not going to be appropriate to look at. But two, I'm just going to be, like, frustrated and discouraged because I'm still praying for them, you know? But I don't want to be discouraged and I don't want to be down. So I just keep praying and praying. I don't know if that answers your question at all, but I just think continual prayer is consistency, right? Persistence and consistency are the key to seeing prodigals saved and brought home.
Yeah, I guess I want there to be a balance because, like I said, I'm a very empathetic person, and sometimes that can turn into worry. Like, with my friend, I worry so much about him that, not that I don't pray about him, but, like, it just consumes my thoughts. Like, what if he never comes back to God? And then it makes me so upset. So, like, I just want to know, like, what the balance is. Like,
yeah, I think that's unhealthy. Yeah, I would say that's unhealthy. At the point you're at now where it's consuming your mind, I definitely don't think that's the will of God. I think that's unhealthy. I don't think that's normal for that to happen. So I would ask the Lord to, hey, remove this from me. I don't know, maybe it's something spiritual that you're going through that there needs to be some deliverance from. But I would say, yeah, don't worry. God knows our prayers even before we pray. Be anxious over nothing, but instead pray about everything. So I think when it gets into anxiety like that, where you're actually going through, like, anxiety over it, you know, like you said, it's consuming you. I didn't know it was at that level. I would say it's unhealthy, and whatever's causing that, you need to step away from. So again, if it's looking at his Instagram, if it's talking to him, I would step away from that and pray at a distance because there could be some unhealthy connection there. And you don't want that, you know, you don't want this to hinder you. You don't want him being hindered to start hindering your relationship with God. That's not something God wants.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a time where you go, all right, I need to step away from this. This is an unhealthy relationship, and I need to really pray about what's going on here.
Yeah. And my second question is, so my mom and I, we went on a fast at the beginning of the month, and the day before the fast, she revealed to me that there's a spirit of control and rebellion in my family. And I noticed that there's also generational curses, like a spirit of rage, depression, and religion. So my question is, like, I'm kind of new to deliverance because I got set free from the spirit of depression and religion on Discord. But how would I pray over, like, my family, for example? Like, how would I go to spiritual warfare over my family?
I mean, you just pray. I mean, if I had like a generational curse, I would just pray that the curse would be broken. You know, I come against it. I break the curse. I renounce it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus breaks the curse. There's nothing really like special to it other than praying. The sword of the spirit is wielded by our words, right? So the power is in the tongue of death and life. The way we fight, Jesus fought the devil. It wasn't like he arm wrestled him. He used his words to speak forth the word of God. And it sounds so simple. You're like, well, give me something more complicated. And people, we all want more complicated. I, myself included. I'm like, give me something really complicated to do. I think about, like, you know, Elijah, the Elisha telling the man Naaman that had leprosy, like, dip 7 times. And he's like, no, it has to be more than that. I want you to come lay your hands and wave over me. And the servant said, man, if he would have told you to do something complicated, you would have done it. But he told you to do something simple, as in just dipping, and you don't want to do it. But the point is, sometimes we want to overcomplicate things, and I'm the same included. We want things to be like, feel like it's going to work when we do it. But it's very simple. It's our words. We speak forth life or death, and we have the power when we speak scripture and we declare the word of God and we declare the blood of Jesus and we pray in the name of Jesus, the name that the Father gave Jesus that's above every name, there's power to break these things. So you have the authority and the power to break these things off your life, to intercede and to pray for your family. And I don't know that there is a specific prayer I would give you. I'm a little bit on the fence even when it comes to like prayer books, you know. I think they could be a good start, but I'm a little bit leery of some of them because I think the Spirit leads us. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us and the Holy Spirit prays through us. And when you go into prayer, like, I don't want you to hear my voice, you know? I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes I'm a little worried about when we give, like, people specific prayers they need to pray, because I don't see it as ritualistic. I don't see this whole thing as, like, this is the formula, which is why I've never put out, like, specific prayers. I think it's more Spirit-led. Let the Holy Spirit lead you into how you should pray for your family, how you should pray for yourself, and don't overcomplicate it. And know that you're free, you know? You're free from the curse. You've prayed. You've broken it. You got to walk in that freedom as well.
Yeah. I just didn't know if there was a right or wrong way to do it.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a right or wrong way. I think you're doing good.
Regarding that, and this kind of ties in with my first question, but when do you, like, is there a point where you stop praying for someone, or I don't know, that's probably a weird question, but I don't know.
Sorry, my daughter was at the door. Yeah, no, there is a time in Jeremiah where God said, stop praying for these people. They're religious, they're stubborn, they don't listen, they don't obey me, don't pray for them anymore. So we don't really see, I'm trying to think, I can't think off the top of my head in the New Testament where I could tell you there's a place where that says it. Maybe in the New Covenant it's different. I personally don't feel that way. I've never gotten to a place where I'm like, I'm done praying for this person. But again, there is a case in Jeremiah where the Lord tells Jeremiah, you're wasting your time. Stop praying for these people. They're stiff-necked, stubborn, and rebellious. I just think in the New Covenant, we should just keep praying. We should just keep praying. So I don't personally teach people to stop praying for someone. I just continue to bug the judge, because in the New Testament, I see the shameless persistence, bugging. God answers prayer. So I kind of teach that just because that's what I see Jesus modeling.
Cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in, Gina.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
Have a good day.
You too. Another great question. Quality questions today, guys. No question is a dumb question. Well, I mean, actually, never mind. That saying is probably wrong. Some questions are dumb. Like if you call in the show and say, Isaiah, is your haircut a fade? That's probably a dumb question. All right. Anyway, so we're going to take the last caller here. Yeah, my daughter's at the door telling me that someone's at the door. And the person at my door is an Amazon Prime package. So I just told her, go tell mommy. My wife's cleaning, so she's at my door here. All right, last caller here. And then I got to get off, so I can't go long on this one. I can't go long. They're loading in here. Sorry, I have to send this text really quick. Can you hear me?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Good. What's your name and where are you calling in from?
My name is Zandile. I'm calling you from South Africa. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I got in.
Hey, thanks for calling in. I love your accent, by the way.
Thank you.
What's going on today?
I'm a newly born again Christian. I got baptized last year, September. And my question is, I have a lot of problem with male authority, especially in the church. You know, like it took a lot for me to even call you to ask for your opinion. But wow. I had to humble myself. Yeah, like it's really bad. And I've prayed about it. I've fasted. I've even asked God to, you know, humble me and, you know, and everything. But I still struggle with that. So, like, I don't know what to do, actually. So is there a way, like, I can, like, self-deliver?
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you something that I hope this doesn't make you mad. I'm just telling this as a brother to a sister. It sounds like you might be dealing with the Jezebel spirit, you know? Very common spirit that attacks people, that demonizes people. And one spirit of any that I know that hates male authority is the spirit of Jezebel. So it sounds like you're probably going through a battle with the spirit of Jezebel. If you're like struggling to even call me for advice, like just such basic advice, there's probably Jezebel at work there. I would seek out deliverance. I would try to get with somebody to meet with you one-on-one. You can try to do self-deliverance. Self-deliverance works sometimes, but it's hard sometimes because the demon will like not choke you, but cause you to not be able to speak. So you might struggle there. Oh, I'm losing signal. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, my internet's going in and out. Okay, so I would seek deliverance if I was you. Like if I was in your shoes and I would say, hey, man, I have trouble with any male authority in the church, outside the church. There could be a Jezebel spirit at work, which of course she's not happy that I'm telling you this. It's likely that you're probably even getting upset me telling you this, but that's something where I would seek out real strong deliverance with somebody in my area. Check the deliverance map. I know we have people in South Africa, but check the deliverance map and see if you can get deliverance. Now, are you married by chance?
No.
No, okay. Do you feel like this has been a hindrance in your relationships? Because if you get in a relationship, you don't want him telling you what to do?
Yeah, I lose my temper if he tries to tell me anything. Like, yeah. I don't want to hear anything from a man. It's that bad.
Yeah, and you're aware of it, right? You're aware that you don't want to be this way. You're aware that this is not God's will for you. It's not biblical. Yeah, you're trying to control it, but there's something else in you. There's another personality in you causing you to be this way, but you don't want to be this way. You know that. I mean, I can tell you don't want to be. You wouldn't be calling and asking. So I would seek deliverance ASAP, and I would, you know, I don't bet, but if I could say it, there probably is a Jezebel spirit at work. And she's very common. I mean, I just did deliverance yesterday and there was a Jezebel spirit working in the person. And the person wasn't even a female, it was a man. So that spirit is at work and hates authority, hates being told what to do. And we see that in the scripture. And I would definitely check the deliverance map, which is just deliverancemap.com, or just go to my website and go to the deliverance map tab and see if you can meet up with someone for deliverance.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sister, for calling in. God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye.
Hey guys, she's honest about it. It's a real thing. That Jezebel spirit hates authority, specifically male authority, and it'll just destroy your life. It'll hinder your relationships, hinder your family, all of that. So I'm praying she gets deliverance, and we have a deliverance map and a bunch of resources there for that. Yes, guys, I don't know why someone said my barber's a criminal. I did get a fade. I get a fade every Thursday morning, a razor fade. So that's why you're like, you look like you just got your haircut. I literally just got my haircut an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. We are going to be starting our prayer call in at 1:30 p.m. for the monthly partners. So if you want to become a monthly partner, I appreciate you. The bottom line is this, no sugarcoating it. The way we survive is by our monthly support. We do all these streams for free and we are demonetized. If you don't know, I mean, I laugh because it's like, duh, but I'm demonetized on TikTok, on Instagram, and on Facebook. So basically I don't make money on any of those platforms. Our content doesn't make any money. And then on YouTube, I am monetized, but we we often do get limited monetization, and we have very limited ads running as well, and we block a lot of the different ads that are not appropriate as well. But anyways, I say all to say, the way we do this full-time and survive, I have somebody that's employed that does all my editing, my thumbnails, my flyers. I have another person that helps me every day run the deliverance map that's employed through the ministry as well. So the way we run everything and survive and pay all the bills is by your guys' monthly support. So if you do monthly support, thank you. If you want a monthly support, you can go to my website, isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. You'll get 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store, and then you'll get invited to our 1:30 p.m. weekly prayer calls. So literally in 20 minutes, we're going to be on Zoom praying together, which is amazing. And Jared joins us on those, and we just seek the Lord. It's just a great time. So you could get invited to those. You'll get a link. If you sign up right now, you'll get a link to that. If you sign up on YouTube, make sure that you check your members perks tab on YouTube, or go to the community tab, and you'll see a special post from me about the prayer calls. And the info's there. It's the same meeting call, same thing every week. And if you are a monthly partner, I would challenge you to be there at 1:30. Get some prayer. It's a great time. You can put it on. You can mute it. You can mute yourself and then have no camera and just have it going. And we're not going to call you out and be like, hey, you need to talk. Why aren't you talking? But it's a great time that we get together and pray. So I want to challenge you to be there. It's a great way. And we do have Cash App. Yes, there's a way to Cash App me. My Cash App is down below right here on screen. And also the Cash App's linked in the comments. So yeah, you can comment there, Cash App there. Yeah, I don't know what you guys are saying about my barber. My barber is a G though. He's been cutting my hair for like over 10 years. I thought about today, this is such a weird thought. I haven't even told my wife about this, but I was thinking today, I'm like, what if I grow my hair out? Because back in the day, I grew my hair out long and curly, like my whole hair. But I was like, it might be cool to like fade it and then kind of have like long on top. I don't know. It'll probably never happen. But I've had the same haircut, y'all, for like 6 or 7 years. And I just thought, I don't know, it'll probably never happen. It's too much work. But I just thought about it, thought it could be cool. Who knows? I'll have an afro at first, but I have very, very curly hair. But I don't know. I just feel like after all these years, who knows? Maybe it's time for change. I'm just so lazy. This is so easy to have just like a razor fade, and it's just too easy. It's too easy. Don't grow it out. Some of you are, everyone's saying do it, and there's like one or two of you that's like, don't do it, Brother Isaiah. I'll stop watching you. Yeah, you guys can give right there on screen for those of you asking. Give me 1 second. I had to mute while I sniffle there, all right? No one wants to hear sniffling on the mic. If it's curly, it's rough to work with. I know, it is super curly and thick. It is rough to work with. My mom's saying do it. I saw somebody on a video that had like curly hair, but like a razor fade, like exactly like my hair, but curly on top, kind of like not too long, maybe this long. And I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool. I just feel like, no, I don't have the right face for it or something. I don't know. Who knows? Everyone's saying, bro, do it. What would I even do as it's growing out? Like, I can't just get on here with like an afro. Like when it's this long, what am I going to do? It's too much, too much, too much, too much. Show a pic. I've already showed a pic too many times. My husband grew his hair, hated the maintenance, so he shaved it, but now misses his hair. Yeah, I wouldn't do it long. I'm not a fan of the long hair, but yeah. Who knows? I got to get off here in like 5 minutes, though, because I have my call here, my prayer call that's about to start here. And
thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.